songs, you know, I release my pride, a living sacrifice, giving it up for Him, giving ourselves to Him, making ourselves available to Him. That's what it's all about today, being a living sacrifice. And then the promise that takes place, free to be forever yours. What reassurance. Does it get any better than that, forever His? I mean, wow. Your future is secure. If you receive and believe, take Him into your heart, hand over your life, your future is secure forever. And I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. You got no worries, nothing to worry about. We get all fired up about these little things that happen in our lives. You know, we get all worried. No, no, don't have to. Take a look at the big picture. God loves you. And if you've accepted Him, yeah, your future is secure. So being a living sacrifice, let's find out more about it in our readings here today.
First reading is from Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Second reading is from Genesis 4, starting with verse 1 through 7. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Here ends the second lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Mark, chapter 12. Verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids that want to head out for kids' church, feel free at this time. Nine of them, 10. Wow, that's way cool. All right, thank you, Lord. Lord, we come before you today as your children, those that believe in you have received, and we accept you and we love you, God. And we ask that you would just fill us, that you would enlighten us, that you would guide and direct us through your word, Lord. May it speak to our hearts and our spirits, that we would just come away changed to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. That's great to see you. That's wonderful. And never minded the sound of kids in church. This is where they should be. So any parents out there or grandparents, if kids are making noise, don't worry about it. It's, you know, he has ordained praise out of the mouths of infants, that tells us the Psalms, right? Okay, they can be glorifying God in so many ways, and they're here, they're going to be raised in the truth, which is so important to pass on that truth to the succeeding generations. Incredibly important. So absolutely, never worry about kids making noise. Okay, today we're going to be starting into Romans chapter 12. Now everybody's got a favorite Bible verse pretty much. You may have a favorite book, and you may have a favorite chapter. My favorite verse is from Micah, my favorite book is probably John, but my favorite chapter is Romans 12. It just speaks to me. It always has. And it's Paul had a difficult task in Romans here, where he's trying to guide and direct people from a distance to come together as a congregation, to come together as a people. Some of them are from a Jewish background, and they still believe that the law applies to them. Others are Gentile converts, and he's trying to bring them together to glorify God and to form the body of Christ. The first 11 chapters of Romans, if you read it, and I'm sure you have, and I encourage you to read it again and again, it's basically doctrine. He's laying out what's happening. He's got that all summed up, now all taken care of. So in chapter 12, here's where he shows about applications, how we can live our lives as Christians. And this chapter is great. So we're going to take one verse at a time. Every Sunday is going to be one verse. And it's going to take a while to get through there, but it's all good. It's very good. So he starts out therefore, and it's sort of weird to start out therefore because that requires something to come before, right? But what came before was him laying out the doctrine, him stating it all. And now as a result of that, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So now the application. He's got the doctrine laid out, now the application. And it's important because he says, therefore, he doesn't just say, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, urge you. Okay, a sense of urgency, this must be important. So he's really driving it home here. To offer your bodies then as living sacrifices. Now, sacrifices was nothing new to the people at that time. For generations, they had offered sacrifices. There are explicit rules set out in the Old Testament. You read in Leviticus and such there, that this is the type of sacrifice for this occasion, and this is how you're going to prepare it. I mean, it was just boom, 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 down to the letter there. Now, after Jesus, that's no longer necessary. Hebrews tells us he is the one-time sacrifice for all. So we don't sacrifice anymore, okay? Or else you'd be getting the lambs out and the calves out and the bulls and then having an altar there and the priests and going through the whole thing. And you can imagine on feast days, all the animals are sacrificed. And all the flies and all the blood and everything else. I mean, it was, interesting. Now, that all takes part, of course, in the inner court of the temple, where people couldn't really go, where the big altar was. Only the Levites could go there. But it was a big deal. The sacrifice set forth by God, it has to be a big deal. But now, again, it's taken care of through Jesus' sacrifice. But we are still to offer sacrifices. Not in that way. But he says to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Sacrifices were typically dead, of course. You had to follow the instructions of bleeding them out and taking out certain organs and things before you could sacrifice them. They also had like the grain offerings, offerings of flour and oil. There's many different types. But here's the living sacrifice. It's a different type. And this is us giving. Once again, a sacrifice is a voluntary giving. Not because you have to, but because you want to, this type of sacrifice. There were the ceremonial sacrifices required, but then there are the other thank offerings and thanksgiving sacrifices, and this would be classified in that way. Us giving of ourselves out of thanks for what God has done for us. And if you stop and think about what he's done for us, everything. We owe everything to him. Okay, we give a small part of our finances. Hopefully you're tithing. You give 10%. And if you've never done it, go for it. Do it, okay? Tithing, God's going to provide the rest, and he's going to bless you in many, many, many ways. We don't give to get, though. Then you'd start to fall into that dangerous prosperity gospel thinking where I'm going to give so I can get more and increase my riches, huh? No, okay? We give out of a humble part, out of thanks, not expecting anything in return, but God will, of course, bless us in many, many ways. Not always financial. So a living sacrifice, giving of ourselves. The sacrifice, again, not of finances, but this is of our time. This is of our gifts. This is of who we are, offering our complete selves, our whole selves up to God so that he can use us as he sees fit. We leave it up to him how to apply it. Just sort of like every morning you wake up, God, here I am, use me today, however you see fit. According to your will, I just offer myself up to you. And he's going to use you in ways you don't even realize, to make a change in this world for his glory. We don't do it for our glory. It's all for his glory. So let us offer ourselves up on a daily basis. God, however you want to use me, he's going to make a difference in other people's lives. Maybe you comfort someone, you're present with someone, maybe you give to someone. all these opportunities. He's going to give you little nudges. Hey, see that over there? Go help that person, or go do this. Fulfill that need. Volunteer over here. There's so many ways that we can give of ourselves. And if we're doing volunteer work, again, it's not for pay. It's just out of goodness. And it's working for God in that. If we're helping out someone that's poor or someone that's hurting, Matthew 25, whatever you do to the least of these, you have done unto me, right? So just by helping out a fellow human being, we're praising, we're worshiping. It's an act of worship. It's not coming to church Sunday morning. This is good worship here, believe me. I love the worship here. But our lives ought to be a worship to God, doing what we do for His glory. That's sacrifice. You see it in many ways. Marriage involves sacrifice, right? I was in my 30s when I finally got married. I'm used to doing things my own way, okay? All of a sudden, I had to take someone else into consideration and actually try to place her above me as she's trying to place me above her. It should be like an arms race in a way. I'm trying to bless and honor you. I'm trying to bless and honor you. Okay, it's just an example of sacrifice. We are setting aside our own needs for those of another, setting aside ourself for another. A woman then gets pregnant. She has to change what she eats, how she does, and things like that, because now she's caring for a life inside her. Again, life starts at conception. As soon as that sperm and egg meet, there is life. That life is precious to God, of course. And that woman is doing everything she can, taking prenatal vitamins, going to checkups, you know, and watching what she eats, how she exercises, because this life is precious. Sacrificing things maybe she would rather do. Once the baby's born, totally dependent. You look at animals, you know, a fawn is able to walk right away. Kid takes, you know, like a year to figure that out, right? And supposedly humans are smarter. Okay. That fawn, after a year, is able to survive on its own. Kids, when they're 18, maybe some can survive on their own, and others still haven't figured it out, right? Okay, humans are supposedly so smart. But when that child is born, then, the mother sees the child as more important than herself. Even when it's in the womb, it's for the child. You know, take my life, not the child, etc. Because of love and sacrifice and a willingness to give. To get up at 3 in the morning to feed every morning. Wow. That's a sacrifice. You know, putting aside your sleep and your needs. A lot of you have been through that. Okay. A sick spouse, another example. We see it many times, especially later in life, where a spouse becomes very, very ill. And the other one is put in the role of caregiver. Sacrificing a lot. You know, many times we're praying for the person that is sick and perhaps dying. But pray also for the caregiver and be there for him or her. They are putting aside everything for the good of another. They need help. They need prayer. They need practical help. Anything you can do to help those people in those times, do it. But it's just another example of sacrifice, setting aside their own needs for those of another. And as living sacrifices, we set aside what we want to do sometimes for God's glory. Yeah, I'd really like to go fishing this afternoon, but you know, I got to help watch the kids, I suppose, or something. You know, we set aside what we want to do. But it's more than that. Again, it's a giving of ourselves, all of ourselves, not just little things here and there. It's a lifestyle. There we go. It's a lifestyle. And it's the lifestyle of worship. Paul drives it home as well. He says, your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. So doing it the right way. Remember, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So it's a lifestyle of worship. By sacrificing yourself and your time and your gifts and everything like that willingly, out of love, you're worshiping God. And it's a spiritual act of worship. Wow. If we're to worship in spirit and truth, right? Is that what tells us in John 3? Yeah, to worship in spirit and truth. What does that look like? Well, here's the spiritual part, or part of it, anyway. It's more to it than that. Worshiping in spirit and truth, that'd be a great sermon for another day. We'll probably circle back to that in the future. There's a lot of depth to that, a lot of depth. Okay, more than we have time for right now. But it's a spiritual act of worship, giving of ourselves to God and to others. It's worship is also a sacrifice, like a tribute. You bring a tribute to God. And this is we're living out a tribute by living as his people, holy and pleasing. Now, the holy lifestyle, no one's 100% at that, all right? We do our best, and hopefully we get better and better and better. But God has made us holy through what Jesus did on the cross. He has made us clean. He has made us worthy and made us righteous. So we can be holy and pleasing to God. So living it in the right way. Alrighty. Again, we can't attain that 100% there. We're still going to have sinful thoughts. We're still going to have some sinful deeds. Maybe we've given up on the old sinful lifestyle. We no longer do that. We no longer live that. It no longer rules our life. But it's still going to creep in. It's still going to tempt us. It's still going to lure us away in thought or in deed. And we have to deal with that. We have to be aware of that. We'll hear more of that in Genesis here. So we can't be in a way, we can't be that perfect sacrifice except for what Jesus has done for us. But a sacrifice has to be unblemished. Again, in the Old Testament, you read through there, it was the first fruits, it was the best, it was unblemished. We weren't just giving cull animals to God. You got a herd, you got a bunch of cull animals, ones that you need to get rid of anyway, so you're going to mark them off or give them away for a tax donation or something. You're just getting rid of the ones you don't really want. We don't give cull animals to God. We give the best. We give the first fruits. We give the firstborn. I mean, this is very, very important. Of course, we want to give him our best. Think of what he's done for you. So we see that here in Genesis. We got Cain and Abel, the first two sons of Adam and Eve. We don't know exactly how many sons and daughters they had. Probably a bunch. You know, there are a lot of years there. Abel, sort of the farmer, kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. He was more of the farmer. Well, farmers do both, right? They keep flocks and they work the soil. One worked more with livestock, one worked more with plants, all right. Okay, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. So we're way back in Genesis 4 here, way back at the beginning. This is right after the fall, but they are giving to the Lord. They are sacrificing. So he brings some of the plants. Nothing wrong with that. We read later on about the grain offerings and things like that. So absolutely, if that's his deal, whatever his thing is, he brings some of it to God to honor him. This is good, bringing something to God. All right? But Abel, his brother, brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. It just said Cain brought some of the fruits of his soil. It doesn't say what grade they were, how good they were, and why he was giving. He's doing the right thing. But is it possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason? Yes, it is. Even in sacrifices, we can sacrifice to make ourselves look good, like we'll hear about in the gospel in a little bit. We can sacrifice to earn favor with someone. We don't do that with God. It's out of thanks, not to earn favor with him, to get on his good side. No, we can't do it that way. But Abel's offering, it tells a little more detail. Fat portions, this is the good stuff, like the marbled steaks, right? This is, yeah, okay, yeah, now I'm distracted by a nicely marbled steak and just juicy, okay, yeah, okay, so he's bringing the good stuff from some of the firstborn, the most valuable to him. He's giving the best of the best. The Lord looked with favor on him and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Alrighty. So part of it's the quality of the offering, absolutely, but the other part is, why are we giving it? Is it from the heart and in faith? Two very important things are along with that. We don't know all the details here, but we can sort of pick out some of the facts there, that one was high quality and the other was just an offering. But if we look at Hebrews 11:4, this is mentioned once again. I'll sort of fast forward to that here real quick. Thessalonians, Timothy, okay, we're getting there, Titus, Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 4. This is like the roll call of faith, where the author of Hebrews, we're not sure who wrote it, is talking about the importance of faith throughout the Old Testament. And in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. We know it's better right here from Hebrews. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. when God spoke well of his offerings. So he is commended by God. And that's nice to get a good compliment or commendation, but if it's coming from God, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, all right? Yeah, okay. So he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of him, his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. This is written a lot later after Genesis, and even today it's still speaking to us. So this act, still speaking. Okay, so it says the better sacrifice, and if you read some other interpretations, when you read the Message Bible, it says he gave out of what he believed rather than what he brought. What he believed, there's the faith part. He's giving in faith what he believed rather than what he brought. He brought good, but it's what he believed as he did it, the faith that he showed. It's the heart. God sees the heart, and that's the case here as well. Alrighty. So the two brothers, you know the rest of the story, you've read it. One goes and murders the other and is sentenced to wander afterwards. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Oh, this offering wasn't acceptable, right? My brother's was, but mine wasn't." You see the jealousy between brothers sometimes, right? Okay. Why do you take his and not mine, you know? So Cain a little bit upset here. "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" And the Lord said, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do what is right, you'll be accepted. But if you do not do what is right," and we got the consequences, right? You make your choices, you're going to pay the consequences. You honor God, things are going to go good. If you don't, you're sacrificing for the wrong reason or low quality, etc., bad things are going to happen, right? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Sin is always crouching, always waiting. I compared it some months ago as an opportunistic predator, just sort of waiting for the opportunity to pounce, right? The devil wanders around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy, and looking for that opportunity. If we get in a weak moment, he's ready. He's going to be right there. Crouching at the door, just waiting right outside the door, crouching. Crouching is ready to spring too, isn't it? Okay, if you're crouching, you're just ready to spring into action. So just envision that, outside the door, crouching, just waiting for an opportunity. It desires to have you. Sin wants to run your life. And maybe it has in your past, but now you're here, now you've given it to God, and now he rules your life, right? But you must master it, all right? How do we do that? Well, when it arises, you just turn to God, right? He will flee. The devil's going to flee when we start to praise God, when we start to turn to God, when we start to proclaim Scripture. That's what Jesus did, and the devil fled, right? So we have to be aware of that. All right, that was just a little addition to the sacrifice part, which is what we're here for. But there's so much more, so much more. I mean, you follow up what happens with them as well, and why and how. So it's not always what you give, but why you give. Is it from the heart? Is it out of genuine thanks to God? Is it just writing a check because, oh, it's Sunday, so I got to write out my tithe? You know, and you do. But giving with a thankful heart. All right? God loves those thankful givers. They're giving for the right reason, not out of obligation. Not, oh, I guess I have to, or else it becomes a tradition or a ritual. Ooh, yeah. Well, you don't want to just fall into tradition and ritual. I write out my tithe check because I have to. No, as you write it out, pray over it. Just, Lord, use this to accomplish great things for your kingdom. When we give here at Shalom, it goes all over the world. We got two different missionaries over in India. We got a place in St. Cloud that is helping women out of trafficking. These we support monthly. And we have other chances to give as well for other causes. We give a minimum of 10% of our income here at Shalom, a tithe of it, a minimum of 10% to missions at home and abroad, feeding people, helping out. After a fire, we just donated money to that. A lot of different things. So be assured, that's what we do with it here. It goes out to make a difference in this world to God's glory. A difference in the world to God's glory. So not just what you give, but why you give. Out of that thankful heart, a meaningful, thank you, Lord, now use this. And not only use this, but use me to make a difference in this world. Show me those opportunities to come alongside people, to help, to bring good news to others, etc. However you can use me, to volunteer, to give from the heart and to give your all. To give from the heart and to give your all. Not just financially, yes, that's important, but to give of ourselves and our time. And that's what we saw in the gospel today, to give your all. Setting the scene, we're in the temple here. You walk into the temple, come up the stairs, you got this big court of the Gentiles, a huge area. Anybody could come into that part, and praise God. Going through another second gate, you come into the court of women, or the court of the Jews, first of all, you leave that. There's a wall there with gates, only Jews could proceed past. And then you come into the court of women where any Jew could come, male, female. A little bit further, only the males could go, getting closer now to the temple proper, the sanctuary. And beyond that wall, only the Levites could go. And beyond that, only the priests could go. And then to the Holy of Holies, where only one, the chief priest could go only once a year on the Day of Atonement. So we got these different sections of the temple. It's fascinating. Watch some videos of the temple as they, you know, recreate it in video form. You can see these different parts and how it all worked together. It was really fascinating. But in the court of women, where any Jews could go and only Jews could go, there was a place for offerings. And there were 13 big like spouts, shall we say. They were made out of metal, hammered metal. They're called trumpets. And they're shaped like the bell of a trumpet that came up like that. It's like a funnel. You put your offering in there, it would go down and into a treasury, perhaps in the basement where they're sorting it all. Some of them were labeled, where you could give to a certain cause. We got the same thing online, where you can donate, if you choose to give online, to the general fund or to the building fund and other things, right? So some of these were labeled. And people would come in. You can imagine this big metal funnel, if they're pouring in coins, all the clanging and stuff that it makes. So some of these rich people would come in, like it was talking about in the gospel, and they'd pour in all their coins and make a big show of it. Think about like the Pharisees as they're, you know, praying for everybody to see and bragging about their fasting. Here they're pouring in these coins and it's making this big rattle and noise. And people are just going, wow, that person gave a lot, you know, respect, huh? Well, they're giving out of their plenty, right? So Jesus sat down opposite the place, these 13 trumpets here, where the offerings are put, and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. You can imagine the sound and this everything else, the ceremony. Poor widow came in, two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. She puts it in. You probably don't even hear it. But it impressed Jesus. Again, you can take this as a percentage. Obviously, the people that have a lot, they're giving a small percentage, okay? But she's giving 100%. Absolutely, respect for that. Not only that, she's giving in faith. Very real, very realistically, giving in faith. Because what does she have to live on now? Nothing. She's having faith that God is going to provide. That somehow God is going to provide. She's a widow. And that's culture and time is tough for widows. They don't, unless they've got a son or daughter to take care of them or something, they don't have a source of income. They're totally dependent on the charity of other people. She puts in everything, giving in faith all that she had. And when we give ourselves as a living sacrifice, we also give in faith. Hopefully we're giving our all, we're making our whole selves available to God rather than saying, okay, God, you can have this part of me, but I'm going to hold this part back. You know, I'm just not ready to give that up yet, or I still want to do this. No, all of us for Him. Offer yourself up with a humble heart out of thanks, not to look good in front of people, not to try to earn favor with God, but a humble heart of thanks. Offer yourself up. Your ordinary everyday life, which may not seem like a big deal, but it is. If you're giving your whole to God, giving everything you are to Him, again, He's going to use you in ways you can't even imagine. So let us do that, Lord. Let us just every day get out of bed, Lord, however you want to use me, just have at it. I offer myself up to you that you can use me however you wish, in ways that don't even make sense to me. Ways I don't even realize that I'm living for you in the way that I treat others, that you are living through me. I no longer live, but Christ lives through me, or lives in me, from Galatians. so that he can use us for his glory and his purposes. Again, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Let us do that. Let us live for him. Amen.